Shalom. Today, the 14th day of the month of Sivan of the year 5777, corresponding to the 8th of June of the year 2017. And today we continue with our studies in the book of Job, Sefer Iyov, standing now on the very threshold of the true climax of this extraordinary work of biblical literature. Now about to enter into what, in my personal view, is perhaps one of the most sublime of all passages in biblical literature, a passage of profound depth, when after all of the debates between Iyov and his companions, with Iyov having begged and requested that God would answer him, in our chapter begins indeed the answer of God to Iyov. Vayan Hashemet Iyov Minas Siara Vayomar. God answered Job from the Siara, from the storm wind, and he spoke. What an extraordinary and awesome moment after all of the suffering of Job and after all of the reproofs of his companions, after the careful preparation by Elihu in the last chapters of Job to attain these heights that he now reaches when God himself speaks to Iyov as a prophet of the nations. God speaks to Job out of the Seara, the storm wind. Well, these chapters certainly deserve some introduction to understand what lies ahead of us. God will challenge Job with a succession of questions that leave Job baffled by the details of God's providence over the entire universe, baffled and stunned into silence and humility. Indeed, this is perhaps the purpose of the whole book, to cut down our arrogance and bring us to humility, for it is out of the attribute of humility that comes wisdom. And Job had expressed that his goal is to attain wisdom, and now after the preparations of Elihu, the Almighty himself reveals to Job the secrets of wisdom. So in the first of these chapters, chapters 38 and 39, there is a succession of these questions, a total of 50 questions enumerated by our sages that God puts to Job one after the other in the most beautiful of language, challenging Job with these depictions of different aspects of the creation of the luminaries, the heavens, the earth hanging upon nothing, the elements, and then coming to the wildlife and the mysteries of the wildlife. And then later on in this series of addresses to Job by the Almighty, it begins to challenge him about if he understands or could control the horse, loving the battle. And he comes to two mysterious creatures that are the subject of many, many allegorical teachings and Kabbalistic ideas, the Behemoth and the Leviathan, Leviathan, these two creatures being the very summit of God's creation and God rules over all. And then by the end of chapter 41, Job is totally humbled, and when he addresses God, he expresses his humility. And then the book comes to its conclusion with the repair where Job prays for his companions who God himself said fell short, and Job is restored to his prosperity. And we see thus a book that is so masterfully structured in its composition and the development of the plot from the beginning with Job in his time of prosperity and success and the test by the called by God to the Satan and the destruction of Job's prosperity, then his physical health, and coming down into the ashes, the sackcloth in mourning, and the successive addresses to him by his companions and his rejection of them, and finally the intervention of Elihu. Everything is leading up to now these chapters. So let us start, before we do enter the Hebrew text, we can look momentarily at the first verse to get our bearings. The first verse itself is one of the mysteries of the Masoret, of the way that the Tanakh, Hebrew scrolls, are written. Vayaan Adonai es Iyov min ha-se'oror vayomer. Here, once again, we go back to the tetragrammaton, the divine name, that has scarcely had a mention since the very beginning of the book, setting the plot in heaven with the divine court and God challenging the Satan. And here, once again, now God, the source of all creation, the source of all prophecy, Hashem, in his name of Havaya, which is the essential name of the Torah, it is now Hashem that answers Iyov. Here we see the word that is articulated, min ha-se'oror, min out of the se'oror, the raging storm wind, is all in the Hebrew written as one word. And we shall have occasion to comment on this in some of the teachings of our sages. Then that God begins to address Job. Who is this that is darkening counsel with words without da'at, without true knowledge and understanding? Who is this, Job? What are you saying here? Listen, I'm going to challenge you with these questions. Well, to start with some of the introductory comments of our sages in their commentaries on this chapter, beginning at chapter 38. Rashi, with whom we start, comments on the expression min ha-se'oror. The Hebrew word se'oror, spelled in our text with a sin letter, is also the word that sounds pretty much like it. In our text, the word is spelled with a samach. I'm sorry, I made a mistake, with a samach. But elsewhere in the Hebrew text, the word se'ara with a sin refers to a human hair. And Rashi tells us the allegorical interpretation of these opening words, Vayan Hashem et Iyov min asera, he answered him as it were from the hair. Says Rashi, here on this text, will count the number of your hairs, and then I will answer you as many reasons against each and every one of them as you want. I have no end of answers for you. Now, another indication here in our text, which Rashi brings forth, is that Rashi here continues in his comment on verse 1, min ha-se'ara, from the Sa'arah, out of this very storm wind, which Job previously in chapter 9, verse 17, had said, Basa'arah yishufeni, he is grinding me down with his storm wind. As we shall hear at the end of the chapter in verse 25, who divided the channel in the floodgates? Rashi continues, he says, every single hair has its own cavity out of which it grows. And we should be hearing more of this in just a moment. Rashi continues in the same comment, he says, with the siara, this storm wind of raging chastisements, he originally smote him. And now with the siara, with his address to Job, out of the siara, the hair, he heals him. Well, now, that is the first comment of Rashi, highly midrashic. The Mitzvah David tells us, min ha-se'ara, out of the storm wind, this is the Ruach, the Holy Spirit that is revealed out of the storm wind, and we shall have presently from Ramban elaboration on this point. But before we do turn to Ramban, who will explain to us about the prophetic levels that Job now attains and what it means, before that, let us first of all look at the Talmudic comments. First of all, in the Sugya of Job found in the Babylonian Talmud of Bava Basra, page 16, Tesis Zayin, Amud Aleph, the Talmud says there, the Amora Rabba said, Job had vilified heaven, cheref, he attacked and fumed against heaven, bisa'ara, with the storm wind, when he'd said, as quoted by Rashi, that God had was grinding him down with this storm wind. And now the Talmud says, with the storm wind did he answer him. With the storm wind, Job had vilified heaven when he said, he's grinding me down with the storm wind. He said before God, Master of the universe, maybe the storm wind passed before you on its way out and it made a mistake between Eov and Oyev. There was a hairline error of the Se'ara, this Ruach Se'ara, that made a mistake and found Eov and thought that Eov is the Oyev, the enemy, because God has been treating him like an enemy. And God then answered him with the Se'ara, with the storm wind out of the hair, as it were, out of the hair of the storm. As the Gemara here, the Talmud quotes our verse, Vayan Hashem es Iyov min ha-se'oror, God answered Job out of the storm wind, and he said, gird yourself like a man, your loins, and I shall ask you, and you will make it known to me. God is saying, Darshan's the Talmud, there are many hairs that I've created in man. And every single hair that I created it in its own cavity, the own follicle out of which it's growing by itself individually. So there's never any two hairs that are both suckling their nurture out of the one a follicle, because if there were ever two that were sucking out of one and the same a root, that would totally darken the eyes of a person. It would upset the whole system, even a tiny error like that between two cells. If it is so that in my creation there's never an error where one follicle, one growth point is changed for another, then how could it be that I made any error between Eov and Oyev, that I thought that Eov was my enemy? That is to say, certainly not. None of this was as treating you as an enemy. God is saying, I made no such mistake. That is the beautiful homily that comes out of this verse, Min ha-se'ara, just as God makes no error between one hair and another, so detailed is his hashkacha providence, so he certainly made no error in the case of Job. Well, now, another section, also in the words of our sages, before we do come to a Ramban, is a section from Bereshit Rabbah, the Midrash of Bereshit Rabbah, which also alludes to our verse. It tells us that there was a certain Kuti, that is to say, a Samaritan, who asked Rabbi Meir, could it be that the one of whom it is written, do I not fill the heavens and the earth, that he would speak with Moses between the two poles of the Ark of the Covenant? Rabbi Meir said to this man, bring me a big mirror. He brought him the mirror, and he said to him, look at your image in the mirror. He saw that because it was a big mirror, that was probably an expanding mirror. He saw himself big. He said to him, now bring me a small mirror, a mirror that diminishes the image. He brought him and he said to him, look at yourself in this mirror. He said, well, it's the image is small. He says to him, well, just like you that are flesh and blood, you can change yourself just as much as you want, project yourself in this way, project yourself in that way. He who spoke and the universe came into being, how much more so? When he wants, indeed, he does fill the heavens and the earth. But when he wants, he can speak in this concentrated manner between the two poles of the ark with Moses. And the Midrash continues, said Ravino Barsis, there are times when even the entire universe is simply unable to contain his whole glory, the glory of our God, but there are other times when he can speak to a person between the hairs of his own head, the hairs of the person's head, as it's written, Vaya'an Hashem es Iyov min ha-se'oro, Hashem answered Job between, out of the se'ara, the storm wind, mibein se'arot rosho, out of between the hairs of his head. So I think we see from this last Midrash, particularly the concept of tzimtzum, of the concentration and contraction of the divine light from its infinite source into even the tiniest detail of creation, which is both a teaching about God's providence and a teaching about how God can communicate with us out of anything and even from the hairs of our head. So with that, let us look at the words of introduction to this section of Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman. Vayan Hashem et Yov min ha-se'ara v'yomar, writes Ramban, now Job reaches the level of prophecy, because he was indeed tam v'yashar, Yare Elokim v'sur mera, he was indeed tam, pure, yashar, upright, Yare Elokim, in fear of God, v'sur mero, he turned aside from evil, v'huchach al nisayon, he was tested by this great test, and even though he sinned, when he expressed his doubts about the justice of God's dealings with him through a lack of wisdom, the test availed to him to draw him close to God, because he accepted the words of Elihu and he saw that they were adequate to answer his question. So now he is indeed Yore Elokim, fearing of God, but Tzadik Tomim, a truly whole, unblemished, righteous Tzadik. Continues Ramban, when it says that God in our text spoke to him out of the Se'ara, and the literal meaning is indeed the storm wind, Ramban says it is not that the heavens were opened up for him and that he saw the Mar'os Elokim, the visions of God, clearly in the way that is said of Isaiah and Ezekiel, that he saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, or that an angel spoke through him. It's just that, in the words of Ramban, he heard the great Se'ara, the great storm wind, and he attained what the first prophets attained at the beginning of their vision. As it says of Ezekiel, at the beginning, I saw, and there was a ruach se'ara, the storm wind coming out of the north, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4. Likewise with Elijah, Eliyahu, at the beginning it says that God was passing and there was a mighty ruach, gedolav, chazak, mefarek, harim, shaber, sera'im, that's 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, there was this great wind, mighty, breaking the mountains and smashing the rocks. And continues Ramban, after the spirit and the quaking and the shaking, the rash, after the rash, the quaking, there came the esh, the fire. And afterwards, the prophets would attain their prophecy. And indeed, there is a clear proof over this in the case of Ezekiel. After he saw the spirit, the wind and the great cloud, which is the and then the rash, the quaking and the esh mitlakachat, the fire. Flaming all over, Job attained at the beginning of his vision that the voice came to him, answering him with tremendous power and strength, with a tremendous raging storm, as customary with the prophets. Like it says there in Ezekiel, in verse 24 of Ezekiel 1, like the voice, the sound of manifold waters, like the voice of Shaddai the Eternal, when the waters are passing and the turbulent commotion of the sound of the camp. And says Ramban, Job attained this through what he heard out of the storm wind and the voice that came out of it. And he knew from all that was said that this is the voice of God that was answering him over and giving him an answer to his words. And the purpose of this address by God to Job is to inform Job that God indeed is Tamim Deim, completely perfect in knowledge, omniscience, in all of the overall generalities of creation, all in every detail, in each and every creature, each and every person, and that God has providence over all of them. And that man is actually, he says in the Hebrew, Niva'ar Midaas Haklol. Man is like a beast when it comes to his deprived and stripped of knowledge of all of this. And what is the foundation of the nature of the world? And how much more so could man not know the judgment of God and its secrets? And God alludes to Job that the secret given over by Elihu is the truth. For so far, Job had not received it entirely from Elihu. Says Ramban, Job so far had taken the words of Elihu conditionally, that it could be that that's what he says, and that would be the answer, the various answers Elihu gave over the question of why the righteous may suffer. He says that would be could be the answer to why the righteous may suffer while the wicked prospers. But Elihu had no proof over what Elihu had said. And a person cannot know this except, says Ramban, b'derech kabbalah, that is to say, through the mode of receiving, that is to say, he receives it from a higher source. So now God indeed says to him and confirms that this is the way that the justice works as Elihu had expressed it. And that is God's mode of dealing with us. And says Ramban, I've already explained that Elihu made known the reason why the tzaddik may suffer, which was Job's main complaint. And Job saw this as being unfair, a kind of violence against humanity. But Elihu had not explained to him why it might be that the righteous, that the wicked prosper. But Job now can learn from the understanding he has of the righteous that has it has suffering. He can infer what is the reason why the wicked may prosper. And in the course of God's answer to Job, he will indeed reveal why it may be that the wicked prosper and why it may be that the tzaddik suffers. And this gives completion to Job's understanding of this subject. God does not speak about the tzaddik that suffers, because Elihu has already addressed this. But so that is Ramban's opening commentary on this chapter of God's answer to Job. With that said, let us take a look at one of the priceless treasures that we have. And this is an edition of the Sefer Yetzirah, the earliest of all the Kabbalistic texts that is attributed to Avraham Avinu, Abraham our father, a collection of six chapters of the secrets of the creation through the power of the 22 Hebrew letters, the three mother letters, the seven so-called doubled letters, Bet Gimel Dalet Kof Pei Resh Taf, and the 12 remaining simple letters. And the whole Sefer Yetzirah in its six chapters is built up on explaining the secrets of the creation of time and space and the inhabitants of the time-space universe. And besides the Sefer Yetzirah itself, we have priceless commentaries on the different versions of this ancient Mishnah that have come down to us. The Sefer Yetzirah is mentioned in the Talmud as having been known to the later Amoraim, who even applied its secrets. We've already found in Rashi's commentary on Job that Rashi, living in the 11th century, was familiar with the existence of the Sefer Yetzirah, and certainly had some grasp of what was in it, but is taciturn about any more than that. And Rashi generally does not speak about the Kabbalah. But it was in among the other priceless commentaries we have on Sefer Yetzirah are a commentary by Ramban himself that we have been following through Job. Ramban, living at the in the 13th century. But an older sage than Ramban, who indeed Ramban received teachings from through the Kabbalistic tradition, was one known to us as Rabbi Avraham ben David of the French city of Posquer. Rabbi Avraham ben David was an older contemporary of Maimonides, Rambam. Rambam was born in about 1130. The Rabbi Avraham ben David, known to us as Ravad, Rabbi Avraham ben David, Ravad, was born in 1120 and passed away in 1198, and is known to Torah students as the author of a critique of Maimonides' code of Torah law, the Mishneh Torah, upon which the Ravad wrote a series of glosses, very critical of many of the detailed conclusions to which Maimonides came in his halachic decisions. And the Hasagot of Ravad on Maimonides are well known. Less well known to many people is that the Ravad is one of the key figures in the transmission of the Kabbalah. And I'd like to read to you a few words from the late Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan's invaluable work on these subjects, Meditation and Kabbalah of Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, in which he writes in his chapter on the earlier schools of the Kabbalah, on page 117, that there were a number of schools contemporary to the foundational Rabbi Abraham Aboulafia, the father of Kabbalistic meditation, and the most important of these schools was in Provence, in France, heir to the mystical teachings of the Bahir, which was published in the late 1100s. Until the 12th century, the Kabbalah had been a carefully concealed mystery in the hands of a few very small and restricted secret societies. So hidden were these that some of the greatest rabbinical leaders were not even aware of their existence. The first ones to break this silence were the Kabbalists of Provence. The earliest known members of this school were Isaac and Jacob Nazir, both of Lunel. The title Nazir indicated that they had separated themselves from all worldly activities, devoting all their time to worship and the study of the Torah. The community supported a number of such individuals, creating an atmosphere where the contemplative life necessary for the teachings of the Kabbalah and its methods could flourish. Another important member of this group was Rabbi David ben Isaac, head of the rabbinical court, whose son, the famed Ra'avad, that I've been speaking about, Rabbi Avram ben David Posker, the author also of the Glosses on Maimonides, was a master of the mystical arts. Ra'avad received the tradition from his father, as well as from his father-in-law, the famed Rabbi Avraham ben Isaac of Narbonne, best known as the author of the Eshkol. In his legal commentaries, the Ra'avad actually writes that his school was subject to divine inspiration and the revelations of mysteries. The Ra'avad's son, known as Isaac the Blind, inherited the leadership of the school from his father and brought it to Provence. Even though he was blind, he was reputed to be able to look into a person's soul and to see his thoughts. In his commentary on the Torah, Rabbi Bachya ben Asher calls him the father of Kabbalah. Rabbi Isaac the Blind had two disciples, Rabbi Ezra and Rabbi Azriel of Gerona, who assumed leadership of the school and authored a number of very interesting books on the Kabbalah. It is from them that the Kabbalah tradition passed to the Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, Nachmanides, who lived from 1194 to 1270, one of the most important religious scholars and leaders of the period. And we may conclude that it was from the Ramban that the teaching came down eventually to Rabbi Isaac Luria, the master of the Kabbalah of 16th century Tzfat. But to get back to Ravad's commentary on Sefer Yetzirah, one of the most precious parts of this commentary is its very extensive introduction. It's 20 pages of Hebrew text here, with each one of which would probably cover 4 or 5 pages of a regular size of book, and pretty dense with lots of interesting diagrams and of one kind and another. But what is most remarkable about this work is that, for our purposes, Ra'avad bases his whole introduction on the 50 gates of understanding, the Chamishim Sha'arei Binah, which he explains in his way of Kabbalah according to all of the 50 questions that God asks of Job in our chapters of 38 onwards. So Ra'avad indeed reveals the secret, and he tells us in his introduction, which we will not be learning in detail, but will, God willing, refer to. Ra'avad tells us that these were explanations and interpretations that he had received from his teachers. And the important point here is that with the enormous flights of eloquence in these coming chapters, there's no comparison between the eloquence of the Hebrew, of the Tanakh, with even the most eloquent of the great poets of secular literature. For one who grew up in Britain with the staple diet of English literature being the plays of William Shakespeare, who has some extraordinarily beautiful and inspiring and moving passages. But when we look at our Hebrew text, we have to understand that the eloquence of these verses that we will be coming to, their beauty, their astonishing beauty in the English translation, let alone the original beautiful, stately Hebrew, this is not separate from the unfathomable depths of these words, which are coming out of the storm wind from the mouth of God. In other words, Job was privy to the revelation of the 50 gates of understanding. And so we've come to the climax of this work of Job, which is all about initiating us into the ways of wisdom, following Job, that we should never suffer anything of those sufferings. But through our study of these works and through our attempts to empathize and to understand and to reflect and to learn about our situation, we are now being brought to this section, which is our profound depth, where every verse is not merely a rhetorical flourish, but is a mystical teaching with innumerable overtones, explaining to us the very secrets of the creation. And this is what we may gain from the commentary of Rabbi Avraham ben David of Posker, the Ra'avad, from his introduction to Sefer Yetzirah, built upon the 50 questions that that God puts to Job in Job chapters 38 onwards. And in our coming sessions, we will be looking at the Hebrew text and the commentaries on this amazing section.